From NPR Music, this is Out Latino. I'm Carlos Santana.
I'm Felix Contreras. We invited Carlos Santana to be an Alt Latino guest DJ, to bring in a list of songs that reflect back on almost 50 years of making music, and this year seems to be one of his busiest. He released his first ever Spanish language album called Corazón. He released a live performance DVD called Live It to Believe It. He is publishing his memoirs this week. It's called The Universal Tone. He is also at work on a reunion of the band that recorded the first three Santana albums and that changed the sound of rock and Latin music forever. I started the conversation by going back to the beginning, to Santana's legendary performance at Woodstock in August of 1969. This is a track called Fried Neck Bones and Some Home Fries. That's a Willy Bobo tune, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So is Hebo Ways.
Jasmine Garst was on vacation, so here's my conversation with Carlos Santana, kicked off by me asking why he chose to write his memoirs now.
It's the perfect time. You know, God gave me the green light, and then we followed it. And it's the perfect time to share with the world what works with us and for us.
The theme for today is I've asked you to think about some tracks that remind you of certain points in your life, and hopefully this will touch on some aspects of each of your activities this year, and that will allow you to take over the turntables, so to speak, for today. First song we want to talk about is a song that reminds you of your days in Autlan, Mexico, when you were a little boy.
It was a song that my father used to serenade my mom every time they get into a fight, and at that time, it was very romantic, even though it was really brutal, the fights and everything. But he would always show up like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, like 2 blocks away. You can hear him singing, "Voy por la vereda tropical," and he sing this song, and you could hear him just coming, you know. And my mom would get up and open the curtains, and yeah, of course, it's him because he's that voice. And so that song, Vereda Tropical, reminds me of many, many times that my mom and dad made up, thank God, and it's a beautiful song.
You did a version of it on Havana Moon.
Yes, my dad sang it on Havana Moon, yes.
Oh,
Your dad was a musician. Mm-hmm. His dad.
Mm-hmm. And my son.
Four generations in your family.
It's a way of life. It's not a profession with us.
And the your dad made a living as a mariachi musician.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know about why weren't you drawn more to Mexican music initially and how you expressed your own sound and how you turned to the blues and Afro-Caribbean. And I'm wondering if it's, maybe it was a little bit of rebellion, because I grew up in a Mexican-American family and my mom listened to mariachi corridos. And when I started listening seriously to music, that was like, oh, that was my mom's music. That's my mom and dad's music. I wanted to find my own thing. Was it something similar with you?
That's music for someone else. It's not music for my heart. I respect it. A lot of people love it and make a way, make a living from it. But it's something that is not something that I want to do. I honor it and respect it, but it's almost like wearing somebody else's shoes that don't belong to you.
Sure.
So I respect that whoever owns those shoes and they walk beautiful and everything. I just chose to follow my heart, and my heart said, you know, this is, honor it and leave it alone. Don't play anything unless you feel it. And this is something I don't feel.
I've always been fascinated with how, at least in my case, how that music, even though it's such a strong part of almost like my DNA and so many other people, that it speaks to me, but there are other things that speak to me in a different way, like, and we have similar tastes, like Miles Davis or, you know, Jerry Garcia, you know, those kind of things speak in a more profound way than mariachi or corridos or cumbia sometimes.
They're all profound, you know. It's just a matter of, like, for example, I think my mom was pregnant with me when she ate too much pozole and tamales. So as soon as I see pozole and tamales, I can't even smell it, man, you know. And I think it's something like that. I think I'm just so close to it that I don't want to do that. You know, again, I honor it and respect it, and I think it's a beautiful form of music. But I'd rather play the music that I love, which is African music.
And when you got to San Francisco when you were a teenager and you already started playing guitar a little bit, it was like the perfect storm, because you arrived there right at the time when the music scene was exploding with the whole San Francisco sound. With the whole San Francisco scene, and you found a place for yourself in that music, in that scene. What song reminds you of your experiences from that era, from being at the Fillmore, either in the audience or on the stage?
Light My Fire, The Doors.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire.
That song, with all respect to the Rolling Stones and Grateful Dead and everybody else, and Jimi Hendrix and Sly Stone and James Brown, all of them are supremely incredible. But Light My Fire, The Doors, man, that's it. You know, it's very hypnotic. I love The Doors because they represent two things that I love, John Lee Hooker and John Coltrane.
How's that?
That's what they listen to, John Coltrane and John Lee Hooker.
Really?
That's what they listen to. Yeah, and they told me. Man, that's forever. Woo! Man. All you need is a Volkswagen bus, man.
And a whole bunch of friends or people you don't even know.
Shoot.
Thank you.
You know, that's the conversation I used to have with friends when we were discovering music, because they would listen. Like, for example, on this track, you know, they're not masters of their instruments, okay? There's a certain level of skill that they have, but it's that spirit, it's the energy. So it's not how you play it, it's what you're playing. It's not how you're saying, it's what you're saying. That is something that some people just don't get. They don't understand. They're looking for the runs, the notes, the technique and all that, but there's a lot more soul in what you're saying. You think that's, would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's not a mental thing. It's a Holy Ghost thing. You know, when you play beyond what you know, it means that you move out of the way and the Holy Ghost takes over in anything that you do, whether it's music or just, you know, lovers. When lovers make, yeah, you see lovers in Paris, man, they release everything. They let go of everything. People who have fear, issues with entitlement, they can never be lovers. Because lovers means you have to be vulnerable. Give it all. Mm-hmm. When you give it all, then she knows she's in trouble. You know, like, oh, dang, you know, this cat is like totally vulnerable. He's giving me everything at my feet. And, so the goddess in her cannot BS and be paranoid or, you know, barter or, you know, there's a way as a lover, a man, to be vulnerable.
Sure.
Because in order to be supreme lovers, you got to be vulnerable. Otherwise, it's an arrangement. An arrangement is not love. It's a cold, calculated arrangement. Real lovers, the ones that I see in Paris on the streets, man, I said, look at them. They're like Velcro bears, man. You know, they can drop the bomb in Paris, couldn't care less, man. They're just like, I love romance. I love lovers because to me, lovers do away with time and gravity and worry and fear. Yeah, and so I gravitate to lovers.
Which one of your songs do you think comes closest to that idea, that of eliminating time and space, where it's just existing as two souls?
There's different songs for different times. You know, the one Friday and Saturday is definitely Maria, Maria, Black Magic Woman, you know, Smooth, especially Smooth, you know. But then there's like 3 o'clock in the morning after you do make love and you still want to show her that you love her even more. So that's like Samapati and Europa, you know, when there's something beyond the rewardings of the physical gratification. You know, when you all of a sudden, you know, when you say, I love you more than your imagination, you know, so... For me, it's complete, you know. We don't dilly-dally with, you know, stuff, you know. And so as a musician, we're not putting on a show. We're not, you know, this is not entertainment or show business. Real music is about the fullness of love being expressed.
Let's hear a little bit of Samapati then.
All right.
All right. Oh, You know, once in sometime in the 80s, I had a chance. I spent an hour and a half with Armando Peraza, the Cuban percussionist who was a member of your band for a long time. And we came in, and I had found a bunch of his old stuff with George Shearing on vinyl. You know, I found all this really cool old stuff. And he did the exact same thing that you're doing in the studio right now when you play back your music. It's like you were, he was transported. He did the same thing. He closed his eyes, and he was listening to the music, and especially during his solos, when he's listening, I played a couple of his solos from those old albums, and it was like he was listening to them again for the first time, just very much like what I'm experiencing with you across the table here. It's just, and I was so impressed. I was so touched by the way he reconnected to that music. And that was like, at that time, 50 years old or so. You know, when you were hearing this stuff back, it's almost like you're reliving that moment again.
It's the only thing that's real, you know, besides God and my wife, you know, and anything that's close to me, my sisters, my brothers, my two daughters, my son. The only thing that's real is this moment with music when we play. This right here, this is all an illusion. And I'm having a good time with you, but you're still an illusion. That's what's real to me. Right? You know, when we play in the studio or we're playing music, that, again, you know, real musicians transport themselves and everybody else with them beyond gravity and time and worry into a place of total wonderment. And you can stay there.
Sure.
You know, it's not delusional it's a place that I talk in my book about. You know, there's a place that it can be obtained consistently through the day. You know, you don't have to be a musician to, you know, stay in that state of grace.
It reminds me of something that I heard. I don't know who said it. Maybe it was Coltrane. Maybe it was, I don't remember who. But it was, and I didn't understand it at the time, that musicians are vehicles, they're vessels, because that energy, that whatever it is, that magic, the music comes from out there, from the universe. And there are certain people who are selected for whatever reason by whoever to be vehicles to be able to spread that energy out through the saxophone, through the trumpet, through the guitar, whatever, through the conga. And it wasn't till I play, you know, largely through listening to your music, I taught myself how to play conga and play a little bit on, you know, a little bit of music on the side. And I didn't get that until I was ready to understand that and accept that. And it, for me, it was always a gig. I'm going to go do a gig. I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to play with my friends. I'm going to play your music. I'm going to play some Miles or whatever. But at a certain point, there's an understanding where that energy comes, like I said, it comes from without. And there's a certain handful of people, Charlie Parker, Jaco, that are allowed to express that.
People are flowers. Music is the water. I'm a hose. And I just got to get out of the way. So the water be flowing and pure and fresh and give people's hearts, you know. People's hearts, you know, and I refer to this constantly, you know. People's hearts need to be replenished constantly by blessings and validation. Women need validation constantly. And because they're beautiful creatures that need, like flowers, to be caressed by the sun and be strong by the soil and with the water, you know. And for me, it's the same thing with people's hearts, you know. You constantly need to replenish your heart, you know, by positive affirmations. You know, that's what this whole interview is about. We're promoting good thoughts. Mm-hmm. One positive thought creates millions of positive vibrations, you know. We just happen to promote good thoughts and spiritual romance, because that's the last thing, that's everlasting. You don't see anybody divorcing when they have spiritual romance. No. My mom and dad, by 6 months, they would have been married 60 years.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a long time, man.
It's a long time. And when I saw them, and they see each other across the room, we're all chopped liver. It's just her and him. And I was like, damn. Shoot. You know, and so they show me that it's possible to have a long-lasting relationship because of the twin flames. You know, I have a twin flame, know, Cindy Blackman Santana, she's my twin flame. She prayed for me years and years and years. Well, she got me. And I pray for her years and years. And what we have right now is divinely blessed, you know, because when we'll be in a restaurant looking at each other for 45 minutes just inside each other's eyes, and like, people like, man, they don't even look at the menu. I want what they got, you know. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, you know. And I think everyone wants that. Everyone needs that. But in order to do that, you have to open your clenched fist and be vulnerable. If you don't want to be in a spiritual, holy romance relationship, then keep your fists white knuckle cleanse, you know, because when you open your knuckles like this, it means you're vulnerable, and then you receive it all and more, and then you give it all without fear or hesitation, you know. It's the same thing with music. Play it like that or do something else for a living. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What song takes you back to when you began your own spiritual reawakening, your own spiritual development and consciousness, from where you were before to where you developed this spiritual sense? What song brings you back to that?
Well, there's many songs about Maria, you know, Ave Maria, with the Ave Maria, you know, which is very holy. You play that at Sunday at church, and then you play the other strip stuff in Tijuana, you know, because it's the same thing to me, you know. But the one that is consistently holy is the most beautiful sounds I ever heard.
The most beautiful sound I ever heard.
Maria from West Side Story, you know.
Maria, Maria, Maria. All the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word. Maria, Maria. Just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Maria, I've just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I've found how wonderful a sound can be. Maria, say it loud and there's music playing. Say it soft, and it's almost like praying. Maria, I'll never stop saying, Maria. The most beautiful song I ever heard.
Point made.
You see what I mean, man?
Yeah.
It's a holy, sacred, divine thing, you know.
The Buddhists believe when they're playing taiko drums that the soko represents perfection. And then when they play, they do that snap thing where they're bringing the thing back in. And they taught me that they're bringing that perfection back into your being, into your spirit. And that's why playing the drums can sometimes be a holy or a spiritual experience, because you're bringing that perfection back into you.
Yes. In the beginning, the main drummers were women.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of men don't want to accept that. But the reason they played drums was to bring birth from the babies with the pulse.
Really?
I know about this stuff. A lot of men, they don't even want women to play drums.
Sure.
That's how stupid and ignorant and fearful men are. But women in the beginning played drums to help with the, you know, the heartbeat of the baby come out, you know. So, yeah.
Let's talk about another drummer, a male drummer. Let's go back to Armando Peraza for a minute and talk about which song comes to mind when you think of Armando Peraza.
Gitano. Vengo de tierra lejana con mi guitarra.
This is from the 1976 album Amigos, and it's just a brief reflection of the influence the percussionist had on Santana's music for over two decades.
Nota de cariño para todos mis hermanos. Vengo de tierra lejana con mi guitarra en la mano.
Amigo, goza como gozo yo, Armando.
Is there one song that you want to talk about that we haven't discussed or even brought up?
No, I think we covered most of it. You know, I feel that most of the songs that I listen to right now are songs to elevate, transform, illumine, and to make me and everyone feel like everything's all right already. Let go of worry, fear, and anxiety. You know, I think that's what CNN needs to play, and BBC, and all of the, you know, people who promote fear. You know, we need to promote music that calms the beast and elevates the spirit into a place of heaven on earth.
Can I choose a song?
Go ahead.
Song of the Wind.
All right.
From Caravanserai.
Cool. Yes.
For me, that song touches all of those points.
Thank you so much.
I've listened to that song at least once a month since the album came out, believe it or not. I want to thank Carlos Santana. Carlos, thank you for your time, for coming and joining us here on Alt Latino today. And thank you for many, many years of music, and hope to celebrate a lot more.
Thank you for broadcasting positive vibrations. We love you so much, and our best to your family.
And we want to remind you also to go out and pick up a copy of Carlos's autobiography, The Universal Tone. Great storytelling, lots of life lessons, and amazing positive energy. Again, thank you very much, Carlos.
Gracias. Thank you so much.
We were supremely honored to have Carlos Santana on Alt Latino. And you can hear all of the songs he selected in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino. NPR's Michelle Martin also interviewed him, and you can hear that at npr.org/morningedition. And reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. And tell us, how has Carlos Santana's music affected your life? Jasmine Garst will be back next week for NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras, and this has been a very special edition of Alt Latino. Thank you so much for listening.